now the dawn is drawing very nigh. Let's creep away from the day and allow me to say goodbye.
Hello, this is Barkley Martin, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
To ArtSpeak Radio. I'm your host, Maria Vasquez Boyd, and we've got a full house in the studio today. Listen, and while he's still here, I want to give my charming radio husband a big thank you for filling in for me last week. It was a terrific interview, and I was able to hear part of it at the airport. I attended AWP, Association Writers and writing programs in Minneapolis, so I came back with all kinds of words filled in spaces in my head. So I want to let you know that today we have several guests in the studio. We have Jessica Borowski, Creighton Baxter, Mark Stevenson, Martin English, Kevin Dolan, and Jameson Bales, and wishing everyone a happy National Poetry Month. It is taking place the entire month of April. So let's get started with some interviews. I have Jessica Borowski, who is an artist, educator, and curator who's currently residing in Kansas City, Missouri. Jessica is a resident of the Charlotte Street Foundation, a lecturer at UMKC, an Oklahoma Visual Artists Coalition writing and curatorial fellow. She's also part of the Art in the Loop, the curator for 2015, and the founder, director of Alternative Lecture KC. Jessica received her MFA from the School of the Museum of Fine Arts, Boston, and Tufts University. And Creighton, you're also a working artist, is that right?
I am, yeah.
Terrific. So welcome, Creighton. Welcome, Jessica. Goodbye, Mark. Let's talk about what we've got, what you all have going on this weekend. Let's talk about Yeah, No, I Mean It, Time, Situation, Dexterity. It's a three-day performance, an art symposium that's housed at Charlotte Street's La Esquina's Gallery. Coming up this weekend. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Yeah, No, I Mean It, Time, Situation, Dexterity is a three-day performance art symposium that starts tomorrow from 7 to 9 p.m., Friday from 7 to 9 p.m., and Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3 will include artist talks from 1 to 2, and then a panel on what it means to curate performance, in particular, from 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. The curators who are coming into town are also practicing artists, so they will be showing work in the symposium and also speaking about what it means to curate, because curating performance art is a whole different beast than curating static art, choreographing dance. I mean, performance art has its own rich history within the visual arts field that a lot of people don't quite know how to place or how to realize. And the other really fantastic component of this symposium is that I am teaching performance art at UMKC, and those students who took the class are also going to be in this symposium. So outside of that, we have students also from Kansas City Art Institute, an MFA from KU. And so the idea is how to create a local and national dialogue among these performing art or performance art practitioners that is a unique and different dialogue than, say, experimental music, experimental dance, and experimental theater, because those are quite different things.
And according to the symposium schedule, your performances will occur within and around La Esquina. And listed here, it says each night there will be a pamphlet of performance titles and times. These performances will occur as events and not as theatrical staging and seating. So have you ever done anything like this before?
Oh, yes. So Creighton and I have actually been a part of several performance art festivals. Yeah. And this is sort of the model of the performance art festival, which, again, are they're national. They're also very well known internationally. And the way that we enter, say, a gallery space, we stand, we look at art, we engage with art, we have conversations.
Right.
Think of it the same way. Except that you have performances that might be durational in nature, maybe lasting the entire night, performances that are quick, fast, lasting for 15 minutes. But the idea is that those are all corresponding, responding, moving together in one space. Rather than, say, in the theater, we come into the space, we sit down, we view a thing in front of us, we get up and we leave, and then we talk about it.
Wow,
this
yeah.
is a bit more of a fluid process that, like I said, has aesthetically a relationship to the visual art gallery space and not a theatrical one.
And I think also one of the major distinctions is that the division between an audience and an artist is not as clear. I think audience members feel a bit more implicated in what's happening in the live space, as opposed to sitting in the theater.
I like that word implicated, because it's not a sort of a partnership or that. I mean, they're drawn into this, right?
Yeah.
Some of the local artists that you have, can you name a few?
Okay, yeah.
Because I know there's a huge list.
Yes.
But,
okay.
And do they all have similar roles or different roles? How does that work?
So I chose the local artists that I did because they are trying to truly traverse this alternative, or it's not alternative, that's the thing. they are working in a lexicon that responds to visual art, so and physical art. So Thursday night we have artists Tim Amundsen and Drew Roth, who operate under the moniker Cached. We have local artists Lindsay Griffith and Charlie Miley. This is on Friday night. We have local artists Laura Isaac, Wesley Isaac, local artist Mannion Kuhn. We also have Boy Boy Cantrell. We also have Kiki Serna. We also have all my UMKC students, which include Alexa DiTrolio, Wolfgang Butcher, Dominic Burkhart, Christy Thomason, Christina Silvius, and Lauren Schrader. So that's my UMKC class. We also have, give me a moment here, Tim Brown, who is also a fellow Charlotte Street resident, also including... This is horrible. I wish I brought my notebook. Let's see here.
Well, I've got Andromeda, Lynn Becker,
Thank
Wolfgang.
You. Yes. Oh, Wolfgang is someone I mentioned. Yeah.
I mean, it's a serious. It's a huge list and a very exciting one at that.
Angela Hoffman. Sorry,
there you
as they're coming to me, I'll sort of shout them out.
Now, I do want to tell our listeners that you can go to charlottestreet.org for more information, or and it will kind of direct you to sort of the events that are happening, that are occurring, the dates and times and all that. And I do want to mention that La Esquina Gallery is located at 1000 West 25th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. It's just on the edge of the west side.
Yes, yeah. That's correct. There's also a blog, performancekc.tumblr.com, which lists all the events as well as a small page. So there's different pages for each artist. So you can click on one of the artists, you can learn more about the artist, and there's a hyperlink to their site. So it's also this archival space by which you can sort of, if you saw something cool but totally forgot someone's name, you can go to the website, you can take a look, and that will be up beyond the time of this weekend.
And so within this symposium and the performance, Creighton, what is your role?
I'm performing a collaborative piece with an artist named Haley Morgenstern. So actually, Haley, Jessica, and I all met at the museum school in Boston. So Haley and I have been working on a collaborative piece for the last 4 or 5 years that has sort of incrementally built itself up. So we make live performances, and after the performances are done, we actually we make drawings of the work to sort of document what has happened. And so through these years, a body of drawings has been built along with a sort of repetitious performance. So we'll be performing an iteration of that same piece.
Now, do you have a website that that you can tell our listeners about?
Sure. You can find my work at creightonbaxter.com. Or the piece specifically that Haley and I will be doing, you can find itmightgetbetter.me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, this is pretty ambitious. So, again, it's April 16th, 17th, and 18th from 7 to 9 p.m. Each night it's going to be a different performance?
Yeah, so with all the names, and please, those of you listening out there, please forgive me if I've left your name out right now. Each of the... thank you, Judith Levy. Judith, you're also going to be there. And I'm super excited. But other than that, I do believe Cindy Purcell, I do believe I've gotten everybody. So each night, there will be about 8 to 10 performances each night. So if you only are able to come on Thursday, you won't see those other performers are Friday and Saturday. If you come to all three nights, you will see different performances every night. So, right, there's, I've divided all the performers up into each evening.
And then I have a list of visiting artists: Ames Armstrong from Washington, D.C., Creighton Baxter, of course, from San Francisco, Jason Tito Dixon from Chicago, Ryan Hawk from Austin, Sarah Hill from Austin, Haley Morgenstern from Austin, Philip Fryer from Boston, and Laura Reese from Tulsa. So the complete schedule, individual artist bios, and performance descriptions for each night can be found at charlottestreet.org and performance kc.tumblr.com. So what do you want your audience, what do you want people to take away from the nights of performance and the discussions?
That's a fantastic question. What I want to start building in Kansas City is what I mentioned earlier, is a shared lexicon about performance art. And that shared lexicon comes not only from, oh, we've maybe read the same things, or maybe we've seen the same things on the internet, but we're making things and we're witnessing those actions. And how, say, does someone performance relate to a history of performance art? So one example, Casht will be making a work that is reflective of Hermann Niesch and the Viennese Actionists, which were a performance group decades ago. And so how do we begin to introduce a history of performance art on a not only an educational level, and I'm sort of doing this right through UMKC, but also through a social communal experience that is making artwork and opening up how art can be made, talked about, looked at in the Kansas City, greater Kansas City area. Chicago has a thriving performance art scene. Austin does. Kansas City, we're a city big enough to start having this conversation in a way that is distinctive, like I said, from contemporary or experimental dance, contemporary or experimental theater.
Yeah, and it's growing, and it continues to grow, because there's, you know, with the Kansas City creative community, I think there's so much room and so much partnership, you know, that people put forth to make it a really strong and vital creative community, don't you think?
Absolutely, and there's an energy here, which I think is really interesting. And I want this symposium to function as a catalyst. I would love to see this happen again next year. And I think that there's potential when the conversation gets introduced for, so this year I've been having some help, but I'm kind of the facilitator of this. And what I would love to see in terms of growth and exchange is that next year, there's maybe six of us that are doing this program. And so how do we let this grow, not only in terms of organization, but also challenging ourselves as artists to deepen our practice and to work on a level, a critical level, and a sense of critical dialogue that is not necessarily just about, oh, I like this, why,
or this
is working for me because, this is my choice because. And I think performance art, going back to what Creighton said, when the audience is implicated and they're witnesses and they're part of it, those questions about one's choices become imperative and very present.
Will their comments and sort of feedback inform you of the next year's performance and symposium, do you suppose?
Yeah, absolutely. The artists have all been really great in terms of communication going on the front end. These are also a group of artists that I know and trust will be able to give me that feedback afterward in order for me also as that what I'm calling myself facilitator to provide a more critically engaged experience, say, next time around too.
And Creighton, you came a long way from San Francisco.
Yes,
so is
I
this
did.
Your first time in Kansas City?
I think I was here once as a very, very small child, so I'm going to say that this is my first time here. It's beautiful so far.
Terrific. Is there anything else that I left out that you wanted to mention, either one of you, or want our listeners to know?
Sure. I mean, I think as a participating artist, one of the things that I'm really excited about potentially for audiences is that I think people who come to the symposium are going to see a really wide range of work happening, I think that allows us to understand that there are actually multiple histories of performance and that there are multiple intersections between different kinds. And so maybe someone who might come in with one idea of what performance might be is going to leave understanding that there are sort of infinite potentials
kind of
for
break
making
down
that
those
work.
Preconceptions of,
exactly.
of what performance art is, and you know, based on what your history is or your exposure to it.
Right.
You're right.
There's a million ways to paint. And there's a million ways to work with the body.
Yeah,
and
there's
a million ways to make sculpture. So Creighton's absolutely right that performance art is just as varied as these other sort of art genres, if we want to call it that, and that oftentimes performance art has a very deep intersection with a lot of these other art practices.
Terrific. Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming in today, and enjoy your stay while you're here.
Thank you so much for having us.
I don't know
thank
whether
you.
It's say break a leg or good luck on your performance this weekend.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. Next up, we'll talk to Mark Stevenson, who is a curator of the 2015 Fine Prints and Paper Expo. We'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio.
Seguro Foldo. Isso aí. E vai dançar forró até o dia amanhecer. Dona Maria, cuidado na saia, no balanço da canoa o vento pode levantar. O canoeiro só rema na proa, cuidado canoeiro pra canoa não virar.
Dona Maria, cuidado na saia, no balanço da canoa o vento pode levantar. O canoeiro só rema na proa, cuidado canoeiro pra canoa não virar.
No alto mar tem muita coisinha boa, tem jangada e tem canoa pra quem quiser passear. O canoeiro só rema na proa, cuidado canoeiro pra canoa não virar. O meu navio deu um tombo, ele bombeou. Mas não virou lá no alto mar.
Meu navio deu tombo, ele bombeou. Bombeou, mas não virou lá no alto mar.
Dona Maria, cuidado na saia. No balanço da canoa, o vento pode levantar. Canoeiro só rema na proa, cuidado canoeiro pra canoa não virar.
Dona Maria, cuidado na saia, no balanço da canoa o vento pode levantar. O canoeiro só rema na proa, cuidado canoeiro.
And we're back. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host, and we have another wonderful guest here in the studio. We have Mark Stevenson, who is the curator of the 2015 Fine Prints and Paper Expo that will feature local artists, artist groups, calligraphy, paper making, book arts, printmaking, demos, and lectures. That's happening at the Leedy Volkas Arts Center at 2012 Baltimore in the Crossroads area. And that's happening Friday, April 17th from 4 to 8, and Saturday, April 18th from 10 to 4. So welcome,
yes,
my friend.
Thank you.
Nice to have you in the studio.
Oh, it's great to be here on this cloudy, cool April day.
I know. Well, let's talk about the Fine Prints and Paper Expo. What is that all about?
Oh, gosh, what is that all about? Well, I'm a paper guy. And
yeah.
Paper tends to be considered one of the humble arts. I mean, there is a hierarchy in the art world, and, you know, with painting and sculpture up there traditionally, paper is kind of, you know, down the list a bit. The impulse or the inspiration for the event is kind of, I see it as a twofold thing. Mm-hmm. It is both personal and then practical.
Mm-hmm.
The practical part, well, I'll start with the personal. I'm a guy, I grew up on a farm in central Indiana, you know, went to public school. As an undergraduate art student, I discovered my love for paper. Hmm. I mean, I walked into the print room one night, and it was just like, oh, my gosh, this is it.
What was it, handmade paper or just drawing paper?
Just printmaking, just the surfaces of the paper, just the smell of the ink was just sent something to my core. And to me, paper is a path. Mm-hmm. When you fall in love with paper, with paper-based things, and pursue that, you know, it sets one in a direction. And for me, you know, ultimately, I went to graduate school to study paper conservation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my training was very privileged.
Wow.
In that a lot of it was paid for. I was given a lot of access.
Mm-hmm.
I got to work at the Fog Art Museum as an intern. I went to the National Gallery as a Mellon Fellow. I was given money to travel to Europe to study collections. And then I moved to Kansas City in 1990 to be paper conservator at the Nelson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I've had all this wonderful access and all these doors that have been opened for me. Then again, I work privately as a conservator, and I've never mentored anyone in the field, mm-hmm. and I feel there's an obligation there.
And how is the field? I mean, I think it's something sort of that we rarely talk or hear about, the conservation. Yeah.
Oh, it's been wonderful for me.
Yeah.
It's just been, you know, absolutely wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And so part of the inspiration came from, it's like, okay, I have this lore regarding paper, and I need to kind of find a situation that allows me to pass that on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'd given workshops on paper history. And finally, I was in a discussion with Art McSweeney, who will be demonstrating on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked away from it. It's like, this is what we need. We need a fine print and paper exposition.
Yeah.
And the exposition comes from both having demonstrations, exhibitors, and lectures. On Friday evening at 6, Art will be demonstrating intaglio printmaking, which is etchings and engravings.
Mm-hmm.
At 7, I will give a lecture, kind of workshop thing on the history of Western papers, handmade papers.
Yeah, nice.
You know, watermarks, you know, just kind of the structure of paper and how
you
we look at
paper.
It.
You love paper. I can see it in your eyes.
You are
all about paper.
And you know, I will also be, I'm a collector, and so I will have a selection of antique papers there.
Wow.
So anyone who's ever kind of found a print and wondered, oh, how old is this paper?
Mm.
You know, what is this stuff made out of? Come by at 7 o'clock and I'll try to sketch out some things for you.
And again, that's going to be at the Leedy Volkas Art Center at 2012 Baltimore. And I believe I have an email or a website would be... Leedy Volkas Art Center?
You can go to the Leedy Volkas Art website. There's also Fine Prints and Paper KC, and we have a Facebook page, and that'll list the schedules and the demonstrators. And
I want to ask you this. In the age of digital art and graphic design and that sort of thing, is there still a need for printmaking?
You know, it's printmaking... I think so. I think one of the things that printmaking does really well is intimacy.
Yeah.
And I think we need more intimacy in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, you know, my prints are very intimate. Mm-hmm. They're kind of small scale. Mm-hmm. You have to get down into them to look at them. That's certainly not true across the board. But, you know, the more we push in one direction technologically, the more it is important to retain the information and the traditions that we have.
Right.
And I see that this as a part of that.
Mm-hmm. So who else will be a part of the paper, the Fine Prints and Paper Expo? You mentioned one artist.
We have 11 exhibitors. The Hand Magazine will be there.
Yeah. Adam Finkelstein.
Yes.
Yeah.
Handprint Press from UMKC will be there. Uh-huh. Kansas City for the Ink and Paper Arts, which is located in the basement of the Hobbs Buildings on 9th Street in the West Bottoms. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Lithography will be there. Mike Sims is a longtime print publisher here in Kansas City, started in Lawrence. Hugh Merrill will be there.
Of course. You can't have this without you there.
Douglas Osa will be there. The Print Society from the Nelson Atkins Museum will be there. Mm-hmm. I will be there exhibiting my prints. Heinrich Toe will be there, who operates Fraction Press with Alessandra Alessandra. And Two Tone Press will be there, a letter press outfit on Gillum in Midtown, and the Z School of Print Media will be there.
As far as the demonstrations in that, you'll have printmaking demonstrations. Will you also have silk screen?
No,
prints?
We won't have silk screen. Yeah. We'll have at 11. We'll have a demonstration by Quinn Cavanaugh, who's a senior at the Art Institute, on paper marbling, which is a decorative technique.
Yeah. You know, I went through paper making with Jenny Frederick.
Yes.
Fredericks?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Will she be there?
No, Jenny won't be able to be there.
Yeah, that was my first introduction to actually making paper.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Jenny and I actually crossed paths in, I think, 1981 when she was at Twin Rocker. Who were pioneers in handmade paper making in the revival that happened in the early 70s. I went up there for a workshop. And we got to talking. It's like, oh, you were there? Yeah, I was there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's something so so familiar about paper, and like you mentioned, intimate. But the whole process of making paper or working with printmaking, it's such a tactile and lovely process that it's not offered, you know, through graphic design and that sort of thing. I mean, you can use images from graphics designs to print. To burn your silk screen, for instance, and that sort of thing, but it's just a whole different process.
It's a tradition that goes back, you know, 500 years in Western culture, you know, quite a bit earlier in East Asian and Chinese culture. And I should mention that at 2 o'clock on Saturday, the Print Society from the Nelson will have a panel discussion on print collecting.
Okay.
And then at 2:30, Calvert Guthrie will give a demonstration on calligraphy.
Okay, so this will be on the website for Fine Prints and Paper.
KC.com. Yeah, and to back up a bit, at 1 p.m. on Saturday, I'll give a second lecture, and that will be on East Asian papers. What are actually called mulberry papers, but quite frequently are discussed under the misnomer rice papers.
Yeah. And it's a very gentle sort of paper, but very sheer.
Sheer, and its strength comes from its long paper fiber.
Yeah, it's surprisingly very strong.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then once again, I will have examples for folks to look at.
Okay.
And handle.
Terrific. And the book arts, can you talk a bit about that? It's the expo will feature book arts, paper making, calligraphy, and that sort of thing. What about the book arts?
Well, this year we're a bit short on book arts.
Okay.
So we don't. It's a biennial. The first one was in 2013. Mm-hmm. I called up Ingle Bindery, who used to be down on Southwest Boulevard.
Yes. Yeah.
I wish you'd done this 10 years ago.
Wow.
We're going out of business. It's just like.
But, you know, don't you think there – do you believe that there is a renaissance happening?
Well, there is kind of a – those of us who came up through the 60s and 70s, we saw there – in the early 70s, there was a push for kind of traditional crafts. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of in that period again. these things kind of, swing back and forth and then come full circle. And it's kind of going under the more of the title artisan, where, there's an artisan approach to food, to distilling, to whatever. And that's leads to kind of the practical side of that, and that has occurred very much here in Kansas City. There was, kind of a quantum mass of, to draw upon to put this thing together. I certainly, would be looking foolish just standing out there on the sidewalk doing it by myself. So,
how about letterpress? Are you are you a big fan of letterpress?
There's, there's Hammer Press is in town. La Cucaracha Press. There are a lot of presses in town. Two Tone will be there representing.
I know Chuck Harper often teaches letterpress classes through CUNY University, and he has some really nice presses in his basement, too.
People who love presses love presses.
You know, they
really do. I have an etching press in my home, a small one. It's just like, when I got my press, it was just like,
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Well, I want to, is there anything that I've left off that you need to talk about with our listeners?
Well, I think we've run through the schedule and given folks a sense of what they might encounter. I certainly encourage them to come by. Anyone who loves paper or thinks that they might possibly love paper, I think you'll come through and be very well rewarded with your effort. The last one we had in 2013, it was just a day long or 2 days of lots of impassioned discussions. People kind of getting off among themselves and just exploring that. And that was actually one of the loveliest things of the whole weekend.
I think, there's something very sensuous, something very tactile, something just that you don't get maybe from other mediums. And
It's a very hands-on thing.
Very good. Well, thank you, Mark Stevenson.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure.
Very good. I want to remind our listeners, you are listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back on the air.
1, 2, 3. Oh, I la 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 Le cœur dans la gorge, une semaine m'a semblé un an. Il s'assit tout à côté de moi, ma peau commence à brûler et je cache mes joues rouges. Ses yeux s'allument, je fais la fière devant tous ses copains. Souvenir d'une nuit blanche dans ses bras, d'une nuit blanche dans ses bras. Il fait de moi un gosse. Je me perds dans son sourire. Il fait de moi une femme. Je me noie dans son corps. La 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 la. La chambre commence à se vider. Je suis paralysée. Je ne regarde pas. Il me met la main sur la joue. Mon visage est tout chaud et ma bouche est excitée. Ses yeux s'allument, je fonds en dents. Je me sens si chanceuse. Mes lèvres tremblent au souvenir d'une nuit blanche dans ses bras, d'une nuit blanche dans ses bras. Il fait de moi un gosse. Je me perds dans son sourire. Il fait de moi une femme. Je me noie dans une corde. Don't I
You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm your host, Maria Vasquez-Boyd. We have a studio full of talented, creative people, and our next guests are no exception. I've got from Kansas City Young Audiences, Martin English, who is the executive director, and Kevin Dolan, teaching artist. The Kansas City Young Audiences was founded in 1961. Their original mission was to bring classical music programs to area school children. But since that time, they've expanded to deliver programs in all arts disciplines, including music, dance, theater, creative writing, and visual arts, through partnerships with professional teaching artists and arts partners. KCYA, Kansas City Young Audiences, help schools provide art programs to their students, as well as operates the Community School of the Arts, which provides children the opportunity to further explore their own artistic and creative abilities beyond the regular school day. Now, they're serving more than 5 million. 5 million, that's a lot. In their history, it's the largest provider of arts programs in the Kansas City area and one of the largest members of the National Young Audiences Arts for Learning Network. Terrific. Thank you for coming in, Martin and Kevin.
Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
Terrific. So, yeah, the Kansas City Young Audiences has been around for some time, and I'm just knocked out. 5 million in the history of your program. You've served more than your share.
Yeah, well, we work with about 200 talented teaching artists like Dino here, Kevin on my left, and we send those folks out into the schools, and they do workshops and performances and after school work, and so all over the metro area in schools, libraries, after school programs. So last year we served about 115,000 students in the metro area. So we do contact a lot of students with arts education programs.
But how important is that for our young folks?
Well, I'll take a bit, but I also definitely want Kevin to answer that one too, because he's a former teacher. From our perspective, it's not just about learning about the arts. The arts really help engage students in all types of learning, whether it be science, technology, engineering, math. And so the arts have been shown in study after study to engage the students. They have higher test scores. They have lower truancy rates. There's just a lot of great benefits to arts education.
Yeah, and I ask that question sort of tongue-in-cheek because it seems like it's one of the first programs that gets budget cuts in the school districts. So you're providing a service that supplements that loss with some school districts. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And so, Dino, I'll call you Dino now.
Great.
Instead of Kevin.
Yeah.
So what do you bring to the classroom? What is your program like right. when you go into the schools?
So my background is in music and theater and teaching. I was an elementary music and drama teacher full-time before I started performing.
Here in Kansas City?
Well, yeah, here in Kansas City over at Brookside Day School, and I taught drama over at St. Peter's. So I was working as a teacher even before that, and then always working as a musician as well, and combining those two things for assembly work. So I'm not often in the classroom anymore. I'm usually in the gymnasium, and we've got about 300 kids in there with us. And so we spend about 45 or 50 minutes. You know, basically, you're using music and stories to make the content more interesting. You know, you're tricking the kids into learning by using the arts as the engagement tool.
I would agree. I mean, that's a terrific way to put it. So they learn music and storytelling and what other sort of...
Good question. We have so many different teaching artists in all the fields. You know, whether it's visual arts or dance or juggling. My specifics happen to be music and stories. Sometimes we have shows that are really just about exposure to the arts. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. trying to to encourage, you know, third graders or whatnot to experience the sound of a violin or what
it's
it means.
Pretty exciting for them. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. Uh-huh. What ballet means and what modern dance is and so forth. My specialty in this area is actually bringing content. Mm-hmm. It's less of a performance and more of an interactive, engaging show that's using music and stories as the vehicle to bring the content in. So, for example, I have a show about outer space science. Uh-huh. You know, when we talk about you know, atmospheres, and we talk mm-hmm. about fiction, and we talk about the difference between meteors mm-hmm. and meteorites mm-hmm. and meteoroids and all that kind of thing. But we do it with music and stories in such a way where kids pay attention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've got to hook them in.
Yeah.
And that's
a
good way of doing that.
Yeah, music is magical that way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're all captured by music.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned earlier that the arts education is always the first thing to get cut. So the really great way for us to continue being invited into schools is to connect it with their curriculum mm-hmm. and show mm-hmm. them that we can help their students achieve.
Yeah. And that, you know, it just makes perfect sense to partner that, all those learning, those tools of learning. Martin, I want to talk about the national conference that you all are going to host that's coming up next week.
Next week,
yeah.
And Dino actually is going to be a big part of that, as certain on the committee will be performing. Kansas City Young Audiences is one of 31 Young Audiences affiliates around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So every year they have a national conference, and this year we are hosting it here in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
We're proud to show KC off and all the wonderful arts things that
Absolutely,
are happening here.
Yeah.
And so we'll have arts educators and administrators and teaching artists from around the country coming here next Thursday, Friday, mm-hmm. and Saturday for this national conference with a couple of wonderful keynote speakers, including Jane Hsu, the chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do
mm-hmm.
love our Jane. So it's great to have her back. And then wonderful breakout sessions from arts strategists and sharing best practices from around the country.
Wow. You know, and for our listeners, if you need more information, you take a look at the website, info@ya.org or kcya.org
mm-hmm.
for more information. And that's April 23rd through April 25th. So the Building Partners Through Community Connections, it's a national arts and education conference that's coming up. How many people do you expect for this to attend this conference? Is it going to be a huge number?
No, not a huge number, but I think it's going to shake out around 200, 225.
Yeah.
And That's again, many good. Of them coming to Kansas City for the first time. So mm-hmm. we're really eager to show off our cultural mm-hmm. assets here.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
And our baseball team.
That's right.
I don't know a whole lot about sports. I guess I understand we're doing very well. So what will be your role for the conference then, Dino?
Well, I'm going to – I helped with the organization
mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. I was just working with Martin and with the other staff with Kate mm-hmm. and some mm-hmm. other volunteers just because it's our hometown.
Absolutely.
And we want to be a part of connecting the Young Audiences, National Young Audiences community to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be doing some hosting duties, mm-hmm. you know, welcoming mm-hmm. people in a variety of ways. We'll be hosting an open mic for all the artists that are going to be part of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll be doing some music, just a little bit of music.
Terrific.
But really, I'll be there just to kind of lend a hand and mm-hmm. keep things moving smoothly. I'm sure there are things that I'll be doing next week that weren't on the schedule. Somebody will say, hey, Dino, could you help me for a second? We got this thing going on. You know.
You're a Renaissance man in that sense, right? So I'm talking to Martin English, who is the executive director, and Dino, who's a teaching artist from Kansas City Young Audiences. Is there anything else that I've left out that you might want to mention to our
Yes, absolutely.
Listeners?
Something very exciting. On October 3rd, we are bringing Kristen Chenoweth in for a large benefit for uh-huh. Kansas City Young Audiences and Arts Education. It'll be at the Kaufman Center's Helzberg Hall.
Terrific.
And she'll be singing with the Kansas City Symphony, which is another partner of ours. It'll be a wonderful evening there. And that info is also on kcya.org. But we're excited to have an artist of that caliber. And I've come to find out that Kristen is actually an arts education advocate, and so really yeah. seems to care about that sort of thing.
It's good to have those, you know, that support from the community and from celebrities and performers mm-hmm. and artists, and that's, you know, who your members are, you know, mm-hmm. With the Kansas City Young Audiences. I want to thank you, Martin and Dino. I think we're going to go out with a CD that you brought,
yeah.
After that, we'll take a quick break. But
great.
Talk about the scene.
Yeah, this is just this is a song that's from one of those shows. It's from the Outer Space Science show that we were talking about a few minutes ago, and it's just a good example of integrating content into music. You know, it's uh-huh. you know, we all learn our ABCs, or most of us anyway have learned our ABCs from school, you know, the Twinkle Twinkle Little Star song.
What was that?
Right?
The School of Rock that what was on?
Oh, Schoolhouse Rock. Yeah,
Schoolhouse.
Yeah,
Rock.
Conjunction,
yeah.
Junction.
There
what's
you
your
go.
Function? Yeah.
Yep.
So this is very much in the same vein as Schoolhouse Rock.
Terrific! Thank you so much, Martin, and
thanks,
Dino,
man.
For coming onto the program.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be right back.
Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars, Jupiter and Saturn shine like stars. Far in the distance, way past the moon, Uranus and Neptune. These are the planets orbiting around our sun. The moon is Earth's only natural satellite. That's right, we have just one. Some planets have many more. Jupiter has the most with 64. Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars, Jupiter and Saturn shine like stars. Far in the distance, way past the moon, Uranus and Neptune. The four rocky planets and four more made of gas. And the heaviest of all the planets is the one with the most mass. I wonder which planet wins. It's Jupiter again. Comets and asteroids, three dwarf planets too. There are trillions of suns.
This week on American Roots, music made by lovers, brothers, and others. We'll talk to the spring fall Grand Ole Opry couple, Marty Stewart and Connie Smith, about their musical attraction. Also, Joan Baez on love songs, plus Black Keys and the Everly Brothers. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Wednesday evening from 7 to 9. The attack on public education has become an onslaught, starting from the heights of the American Legislative Exchange Council and subverting institutions from kindergarten through higher education, with the myth that public is bad and a failure. Hear about the corporate takeover of our schools this week on the Heartland Labor Forum. The show is called From Public to Charter to Virtual. What's next for the schools? Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
Tune in on Saturday afternoons for real local talk radio community programming. Starting at 3 o'clock p.m., Every Woman with Sharon Lockhart and Amy Bell. 4 o'clock p.m., Urban Connections with Donna Morrow Wolf. 5 o'clock p.m., Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with M.C. Richardson.
And you're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. We've had a full house this morning, or actually I should say this afternoon, and now I'm talking with Jameson Bales, poet, who's been published in numerous literary journals and magazines. Currently his work can be found in two books, The Cataman Years, published by Mistop
Publications and the Artistic Muses published by True Color Press. Welcome, Jameson.
Good afternoon.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You know what? Let's start off with one of your poems because it is National Poetry Month.
It is. I'll read a poem from the Artistic Muses. It's my contribution to the anthology. It is entitled Her Thursdays. And it's another one of those late nights when the echoes of sleep ring in your ears and the memories of restlessness tumble in your heart. I can't remember the last dream I had that was encased in color. The dialogue is always fragmented in mine. Love, if unblemished, is eternal. Love, if unblemished, is eternal. The phrase has stuck in my head for 3 weeks. The mysteries of REM cycles. I don't smoke, but the cigarette is keeping me entertained. The ashes, red with envy, jealous that they'll never be green, virginal. I burned 3 camels so far. A cow was bellowing at 2 a.m. It's a welcome sound. Bovine solos are unheard at 39th and Main. I remember when falling in love was a chore. The process has been coming with relative ease, but it's become fragmented, subconsequential, shadowed. I miss you, Jameson. Bring me the blue ribbon. Her voice cracked and solitary. Her hair auburn with a twist of verboten lust. I've used my last match, but I have 3 more cigarettes to burn. For her, today is a Thursday.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a great way to celebrate National Poetry Month. Very nice. You know, Jameson, we had talked to one another, and you had told me about this event that's happening in Weston. So will you share that with our listeners?
Sure. This Saturday from 2 to 4, the Weston Wine Company is hosting a new poetry series entitled The Cellar Poetry Series. It consists of 3 completely different poets. Dennis Etzel Jr. is an English professor at Washington University in Topeka. Michelle Roberts is a graduate student at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. And there's this Kansas City guy named Jameson Mills.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Well, I understand the overall intent is to promote the poetry and kind of get the audience wine savvy at the same time, shall we say. So it's they can experience a poetry reading and at the Weston Wine Company, which is a new winery. I've written down the address here in, yeah, it's
520 Main.
There you go. It's on my other sheet of paper. So that's Saturday from two to four.
Correct.
So how did they come up with the other poets for this cellar?
Dennis Etzel, I've known for several years. We were part of a similar writing group in Topeka, Kansas, a long time ago. And we've been out of touch for a little while, and I contacted him recently when this opportunity opened up in Weston and pitched the idea that we have an opportunity to read to a completely different audience. We're not reading to our peers. We're reading to people that generally have either never been to a winery before or they've never been to a poetry reading before. Mm-hmm. And he jumped on it right away.
The best of both worlds.
Michelle was a little easier sales pitch because she's just so energetic, and she's getting a lot of national attention. In August, she's going to be the featured poet through Cultural Weekly, which is a large online publication based in Los Angeles. She's a rapidly rising star. So when I had those two on board, I figured I'd just give it a shot. So
heck yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Do you have another poem that you would like to
actually,
read for us? Yeah.
This is from my book, The Cataman Years, and it's entitled "Searching for a Voice." Miles Davis and I went looking for Miss Wright the other night. I remember my first time. Dana Scully showed up, pinned me to my overused Easy Boy recliner, and impaled me with that midsummer sky stare of hers. She whispered, "Semantic symbolism, semantic symbolism," until I passed out. And when I opened my eyes, I saw a young girl who slit her wrists and a poet dripped onto the floor. I wanted to have her pale palms read by those who knew her, but they replied, "Not all pencils have erasers." Miles Davis growled, grabbed his hypodermic voice, and replied, "Stringless guitars, overfed dresser drawers, faceless advertisements in the Wall Street Journal, reverse circumcisions, road rage, frightened coins, and a dry urinal. Strap me to your waterlogged crucifix. Pitch me over that bridge you burned long ago. I am underneath the water's edge, like pre-chewed gum after a 7 o'clock show." I said, "Doo-wop bebop, and who is Miles Davis anyway?" I guess I just wanted to make him proud of...
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So you will be reading from this book on Saturday?
I generally don't have a set list, but I believe in keep creating a moment, just keeping everything fresh. It's a possibility I'll probably be reading these poems or different ones from this. And I also have some other fresh poems as well. So.
Yeah. Is that how your inspiration works too? Just, you know, you just, whatever you're exposed to just sort of happens to maybe fall into your writing?
I think there's a sense of universal harmony to life in general. I tend to be a sponge, so I just kind of absorb things that I see here and there, and it just comes out in a lyrical form. So,
yeah. How long have you been writing?
Since 1997. I took a break for personal reasons for a decade, which is a long break. But I've recently, in the past couple of months, I've jumped back in a big way. So,
a couple of things I like to ask writers when they come onto the program. I like to know kind of what inspires them, and what advice do you give to people who are struggling with writing or wanting to begin to write or are in the process of writing?
I think what's important for young writers is to not only continue writing, but to read as much as possible. Mm-hmm. It's easy to become locked into your own sense of ego when you're writing, but I've always subscribed to the notion that we're all part of this unified force when it comes to writing. That's the muse working through us. It's not us manipulating the muse.
Absolutely.
So attend poetry readings, sit on a street corner and just watch traffic go by, hit a library, enjoy solitude and embrace the freedom of being in a crowd. It's all part of the same unifying process when it comes to writing. So,
And write down everything you hear over here in conversations, because sometimes that's a really good poem right there, just a found poem, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the program, Jameson. And you know what? We'll have you back because I know this was brief. I try to accommodate, this terrific, thriving, creative community, and I just try to get as much as I can on the program, but we will definitely have you back. You promise?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Terrific. I want to say special thanks to our guests, Jessica Baruski, Creighton Baxter, Mark Stevenson, Martin English, Dino Dolan, Jameson Bales, and of course I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. Next week, April 22nd, Earth Day, my guests will include artist Aaron Zona, director of Parks and Rec, Anna Marie Tatera with Kansas City Art Institute students, plus music and poetry and art at the Neon with Rick Malsik, Martha Gershon, and Tom Cobian. Stay tuned next for Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshberger, followed by Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant at 6 o'clock, All Souls Forum at 7 o'clock, American Roots, 9 p.m., Classical Challenge. Thank you all for tuning in. I'll see you next week, honey. I'm coming home.